So the last few days, obviously, we've been discussing the mitzvah puravu, yes, and of course the Tur Evan's question and the Milchas Chinuch's answer. And then we had yesterday some different answers given for the Tur Evan's kasha. So the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, in his list of the 613, in mitzvah Resh Yud Beis 212. So as I said before, the Sefer Chinuch, which normally follows the 613 of the Rambam, not 100%, but very close to 100% of the Rambam's listing of what counts as the 613. He does not go in the order of the Rambam, even though I doubt there's any practical difference. I don't think so. But the Sefer Chinuch goes according to the Parshiot, and therefore he lists the mitzvah of Puruvu as mitzvah number one, because that would be the first mitzvah in the Torah, again, depending on when it was given, Adam and Noach, two different psukim, and maybe even by Har Sinai. But either way, he listed it number one. But the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs lists the mitzvah as Resh Yud Beis. And he says like this. It's a short few lines. He shetzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, lifrois for lirbois, ulechavein lekayim amin, to have intent, lekayim amin, to continue the society. Vezoitzi mitzvahs puruvu, v'om yisala, puruvu, he quotes a pasuk. Now the word puruvu does appear by both Adam and Noach, so you have to know the Gersois here. If you look at Chaim Heller's masterpiece, he discusses at length of which pasuk the Rambam is actually quoting, because there is a pasuk by Adam that says Puruvu, and there is a pasuk by Noach that says Puruvu. So when you say the words Puruvu, it could be either Adam or Noach. It's very vague. On the side in the parentheses here, they're saying Bereshis Aleph. I'm not looking at Tzitzunim, I'll look quickly. And here they're going to say Shenemar Puruvu, and it says different Gersois have different things. So also, here it says Bereshis Noach test. And here it's on the inside the page, it says in the Frank around Bereshis Aleph. And here it says Bereshis Test, but Perak Aleph and Perak Test both have the words Puruvu, again, one to Adam, one to Noach. That's not for now the source of the mitzvah, that's another conversation. The Gemara discusses why some mitzvahs would have been recorded and written earlier. The Gemara discusses that mitzvahs that were given prior to Sinai, Gemara and Kedush Lamaches, the mitzvahs prior to Sinai, relevant to the laws of Aseidah Chalaisa, say Tysus might have a different power. It's a Gemara and Yevamos as well. Mitzvahs prior to Sinai might have more power than mitzvahs given later. That's a very, very for sure thing. All the details we'll have to figure out, but yes, that's for sure something. No question about it. And does apply in some case to Puruvu, not for today's class, but it can potentially apply as well. Again, we asked the question, that's what would apply. We asked the question of the Merid al Ghazi. Merid al Ghazi in Bechairis Estakasha, that we know that Aseh is Doichalais Aseh. And we also know that mitzvah Abab Avera does not count as a mitzvah. So the Rid al Ghazi's question was, how do we count the Ramah and Sivav, a mamzer child from a prohibited relations, to count for the mitzvah Puruvu? If the child was created through an Avera, then you say mitzvah Abab Avera doesn't count. So in that conversation, some will approach it with what you're saying, that maybe the mitzvah's essay of Puruvu is stronger than the Lois essays based on the mitzvah's essay being given prior to Sinai, and the Lois essays were not given till Sinai. Very lumdish conversation. The Yerushalmi in Yevamah says, B'noi hu l'chal davar. B'noi l'chal davar, and the Yerushalmi is almost certainly discussing a prohibited relationship that created the mamzer. And it says, B'noi hu l'chal davar. It's talking about the mitzvah of Yibam, but others as well. B'noi hu l'chal davar means it's his child for everything. His child for everything would probably mean Yerusha, probably mean, Gemara says it about hitting the father, and Puruvu, that if this child mamzer hits his father, he's liable to the death penalty according to Jewish law, because that is his biological father, even though he has this deficiency, this spiritual deficiency. And now, there is a question on Kibbutz of Aim. In general, if your father's a Russia, are you Mechuvah Kibbutz of Aim? So you'd have to know if he had the child with the prohibited relations and then had tshuva, but that's a Kibbutz of Aim discussion, not for now. The mamzer is mechuyev in Yibam. The Gemara incites to ask that question. But the Gemara says yes. That means that it's two possibilities. It's either the mamzer is the one who died, and then the brother who's not a mamzer, or the brother is a mamzer. And it could be a brother who's a mamzer to a brother who was not a mamzer. Because the father had two kids, one from a prohibited relationship, and one from a normal one. The Mishnah says openly, as far as I remember, in Saita, that the Saita water applies and Yibam applies. Mamzer will have the Yibam, and the child that comes out will be a Mamzer, and it will be relevant to this discussion of Mitzvah Babavera and all these type of questions. That's the Gemara says so. Yeah, Gemara Saita, Chavav. Chavav says it. So we can look it up, Chavav Manalf. So the Rambam here says that there is a mitzvah approval, which he counts as a mitzvah. We said the Rambam counts a mitzvah marriages also. But he adds in, which we discussed a couple times here, ulechavin, that there has to be kavana for the mitzvah. So we mentioned before that the Mechas Chinuch says that if there is kavana, which we'll discuss today, if there's a requirement to have kavana by the mitzvah puruvu, when would the kavana apply? So it depends when the mitzvah applies. If you're going to go like Shitas HaTosis that we discussed, that the mitzvah is at the Soif Maisa Bia, Tosin Babasha Yagimel, but many places, when Tosis says that the mitzvah is at the end of the Bia, so you'd need kavana around that time. You don't need kavana maybe that second, but around that time you need proper kavana to fulfill the mitzvah if you hold like the Rambam, if you hold the Rambam is saying that you need proper kavana. We'll have other ways to understand this Rambam. But according to the Mechas Chinuch's approach, which again I'll just say as well, which seems to be a very answering a lot of questions, that the Mechas Chinuch approach to mitzvah pruvu, the fundamental of mitzvah pruvu is not the Maisa Bia, the fundamental of mitzvah pruvu is having existing children, then what happens during the Maisa Bia would be irrelevant what you have if you're thinking at that moment in time. You'd have to have kavana at a later event when the kid's alive. At one point when the kids, plural, are alive, you'd have to have kavana. And we said a couple days ago, you could do it right now. Have kavana right now. You're Mekayim the mitzvah. But we have to analyze this Rambam to see if it's consistent with other Rambams. Now, this is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam does not say these words in the Yad HaChazaka when he codifies all the laws. So that's not necessarily proof that he doesn't hold of it. But I'm just saying, in the codified laws, he does not say that you need kavana. And here he does. Let's see if that makes sense overall. So, coming up Rosh Hashanah, a famous steer in the Rambam. Whether there is a machlok in the Gemara where mitzvahs need kavana, and the Machlokes Rishonim, what that would mean. But we'll quote two open Rambams. The Rambam says in Hilchas Shofar, coming up, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah Shofar, we know from the Mishnah, that if someone is just walking in by the cave or by this place in the land, if someone's blowing Shofar, a bar, and he has no intent whatsoever, he does not fulfill the mitzvah of Shofar. The Rambam says openly that in order to fulfill the mitzvah Shofar, kavana is required. By who? Different conversation, but probably both sides, some sort of kavana. The guy blowing the shofar, the guy hearing the shofar, both need some kavana to make the process work for the guy blowing the shofar to fulfill the mitzvah. Because technically, it could be everyone has to blow the shofar, but you're relying on that guy to blow it for you because we don't know how to blow a shofar necessarily. So you're relying on that guy to blow the shofar. So in order for you to fulfill your mitzvah, if he's blowing the shofar, you're doing nothing. What you need is his kavana and your kavana to fill the mitzvah. Okay, easy. The Rambam elsewhere, there's right away on the side of the Rambam, there's right away the people on the side of the Rambam, the Gedolim on the side of the Rambam ask this question. The Rambam, when it comes to Hilchas Matzah, says that if someone eats matzah without kavana, he was forced to eat matzah, and he has no kavana to eat the matzah, he fulfills the mitzvah of matzah. So we have an open potential contradiction in the Rambam. Right on the side, the Magid Mishnah, Rabbeinu Menoyach, on the side, they right away ask this question. Why, by Hilchas Shofar, do you need kavana to fulfill the mitzvah? And why, by Hilchas Matzah, do you not need kavana? That is the question right away on the side, an obvious question. Most people, when they make shofar, make a bracha as well. Someone's making a bracha. There's shushim people, they're making announcements there. But let's assume that the bracha, it's a Rosh Hashanah Kluga, it's a wild Rosh Hashanah Kluga actually. But let's go on the simple version that when someone does not make a bracha of deep matzah, he's still yotzei the mitzvah, which is almost universally accepted. It's a bracha Rishonah, it's a Darabanan. Again, I don't want to minimize it, but it's a bracha Rishonah, it's usually Darabanan. And therefore, let's say the person did not make the bracha. Most people are going to rule, Rav Shlomo Kluge has a question, but most people are going to rule that when you don't make a bracha, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. So now the guy, so in that situation where the guy did not make the bracha, he ate the matzah with no kavana for intent to the matzah, someone put a gun to his head to eat it, whatever the case is, he had no intent whatsoever. According to the Rambam, he can, yes, fulfill the mitzvah. So the question is, why does he, yes, fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, and he does not fulfill the mitzvah of shofar by intent, not by bracha, by intent. No intent by a shofar, you're out. No intent by matzah, you're in. That's the question right now. As a side, just because we said it before, the Gemara in Brachas Lamehei says that if someone does not make a bracha rishonah, it's considered as if he stole the item. It's a bracha rishonah, it's a derabanan, and it's a mitzvah, a brichas nenen. But the idea of someone who does not make a bracha rishonah is considered theft. And there's a question if someone can fulfill his mitzvah of matzah with stolen matzah. Hence the question of Shlomo Kluge, Pesach time, we can go through this, that if someone does not make a bracha rishonah on the matzah, and he eats the matzah, maybe it's considered theft matzah. As theft matzah, you cannot fill a mitzvah of matzah because you can't have stolen matzah fill a mitzvah. A lot of, every one of those statements we could discuss. But the idea was, he says maybe not. But overall, we accept no bracha, you fill the mitzvah. If I think what you're saying is what you're saying. There are two brachas. So the question is, Rav Shlomo Kluger referring to someone who made no brachas, or only not the bracha Rishayna? But let's assume now, just for argument's sake, but excellent, would be that Rav Shlomo Kluger is referring to a case where someone made no brachas at all. We have two brachas on matzah. He made no brachas to avoid that question. But yes, excellent point. So if a man made no brachas, would he be fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah? Again, real parentheses around this conversation. So the Mishnah says he has to have intent. So we're going to assume the basic intent meant that the one blowing the shofar has intent to fulfill the mitzvah for anyone listening. And the one listening has intent to be fulfilled through the one blowing. And that is required. If the intent, whatever the intent details are, is missing, the Rambam openly says, you're not yet fulfilling the mitzvah. If the intent by matzah is missing, he says you are fulfilling the mitzvah. That is the question we have. And we're going to have to figure out that answer, the friendship between shofar and matzah, and decide where pruvu fits in. Does pruvu fit in with shofar that will require intent, or does it fit in more with matzah that does not require intent? That would be depending on how you differentiate between matzah and shofar. And once you figure out this answer, it's one approach, you'll figure out where pruvu fits in or does not fit in. So yeah, the Rambam is saying you need intent by shofar. What the intent is won't really affect us yet for this conversation of pruvu. Maybe.
Okay.
Oh. So the first approach is by the Magid Mishnah. And the Magid Mishnah says the difference between shofar and matzah is in the action of the person fulfilling the mitzvah. In general, listening is an inactive, non-actionable event. So therefore, he says that when it comes to an inactive situation, then what you need is intent. Because otherwise, what am I doing here? I'm not doing anything. So the intent makes something occur. With the proper intent, you now fulfill the mitzvah. But when someone's eating matzah, in order to usual, 99% of the cases, in order to eat matzah, there has to be a physical action occurring. You got to chew on the food or even swallow the food. So since there's an action taking place, the action is in lieu of what's called intent. So you need intent when there's no action, because what are you going to do? But when you have an action, in this simple explanation, the action is in lieu of intent, and therefore intent is not required. So matzah does not need intent. Shofar does need intent. This will obviously now become a question of what the mitzvah pruvu is. If you're going to learn the mitzvah pruvu is the action of having relations, cohabitation, then you should say no intent. Yet the Rambam says, shatzivanu lifrois for libros. You need it, and ulechaven, and to have kavanah. So if you're going to learn like the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam, then the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs will be a problem. Because according to the action required or not required, pruvu, according to this approach, is an action. Therefore, no intent should be required. How can the Rambam say you need intent? This would not help the Rambam. Rabbeinu Menachem says it this. The first answer, I don't know if you were saying it like the first answer. It's not the same answer. The first answer was action or non-action. The second answer, Rabbeinu Menachem, on the page of the Rambam, says like this. The Gemara says that in order to violate a transgression, someone needs intent if you want to bring a chatas. If you have no intent, it's something else. But in order to bring a chatas, a karban chatas, for a shoygeg, the shoygeg requires minimal intent. With no intent, no karban chatas. There might be other ways to do tshuva, but no karban chatas. Except when it comes to chalavim v'arayas. What's chalavim v'arayas? Chalavim is eating prohibited fats. Arayas is a prohibited cohabitation. And the Gemara says in Croesus that in that case, no intent is required. That means if someone is eating chazer, not realizing it's chazer, not intending with chazer, whatever that means, not intent, he can still bring a karban chatas. Same thing applies if someone's cohabitating and not the proper intent. He thinks it's his wife, whatever it is. Why? Because of what he just said. Because when it comes to a physical pleasure becomes in lieu of intent. So when there is no physical pleasure, then you have to be, that's on the negative side, you would not be able to bring the chatas. When there's a physical pleasure, you would, yes, be able to bring the chatas. So the achronim want to flip it to mitzvahs as well. The same way the intent becomes relevant to the pleasure to bring a chatas, it should apply as well to fulfill the mitzvah. If someone has a mitzvah and there is no physical pleasure in the mitzvah, then what should happen is that if he has no physical pleasure and no intent, he does not fulfill the mitzvah. But if there's a physical pleasure, it becomes in lieu of intent, and he fulfills the mitzvah anyway. The flip side of the prohibition of eating non-kosher foods and having improper cohabitation becomes the flip side, according to Rabbeinu Menayach, and now on the positive, which would mean, when it comes to shofar, according to this Rabbeinu Menayach, there is no physical pleasure, You could argue on certain people, but no physical pleasure. Therefore, intent is required. But when it comes to the eating of matzah, since there is physical pleasure, therefore intent would not be required. I think we'd have the same question now. Let's move into Puruvu now. Would Puruvu have physical pleasure? Most would say yes, which would mean Puruvu should have intent or no intent. No intent. So we have a problem now. The Rambam we started with on Reshut Beis says that Hu Shetivanu Lifrois Velirbois Ulechavein, that you have to have intent. We're saying, okay, let's look around at the Rambam and decide. Does the Rambam normally require intent or not normally require intent? Here he's saying you need intent for Puruvu. Let's see what he holds in the rest of the cases. We found an open contradiction. In Shofar he says, no, yes, intent. In Matzah he says, no, intent. And we came up with two different explanations. And both explanations, it seems, would result in Puruvu not needing intent. If you hold it's based on physical pleasure, or you hold it's based on actionable fulfilling of a mitzvah, then Puruvu is both a physical action. Puruvu also has physical pleasure. Therefore, Puruvu should not require intent. The question returns, how does the Rambam and Reshut Beis say, lifreis v'libreis u'lechaven, and to have intent? Basically, everything I said till now, others as well, but it's easily written, beautifully written by the Maram Shik on Mitzvah Aleph of Puruvu. He right away quotes this Rambam and says, whoa, let's discuss this Rambam, and then quotes these two interpretations, Rabbeinu Menoyach, the Magen Mishnah, I think he quotes both of them, and he says, according to both interpretations, I don't understand what the Rambam's saying. How could the Rambam say, you need intent by the mitzvah? Maram Shik himself answers like this. He says that when it says, lifreis v'lirbois, the mitzvah is to approve who? Ulechavein, the next words are what taken away. Ulechavein l'kayim hamin. So he says, l'chavein l'kayim hamin is not what's normally under the auspices, under the umbrella of what's called
kavanah
for a mitzvah. Kavanah for a mitzvah is you having intent to fulfill the mitzvah. Here, you do not need intent to fulfill the mitzvah. We gave two explanations why you might not need it. Because you have a physical pleasure in lieu of kavanah, or because you have a physical action in lieu of kavanah. Therefore, you would not need intent for l'kayim the mitzvah. What you do need intent for, special intent, to be l'kayim amin, that the world should go on as is. As we know, I forgot the words they used, right? In China, you're only allowed to have one child because they were afraid of population explosion. So, or the reverse, we want l'kayim amin. We would say that someone who's having intent to further the population of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a world that should be empty of human beings. In fact, one of the approaches to explain mixing science together with Torah, that why the world might be 5 billion years old, because they found some fossil that seems to be that way. Yes and no, there are a lot of different approaches. One approach to explain this is no. Maybe there was a world that's 5 billion years old. You could find physical fossils, maybe, but it doesn't make a difference. When we discuss the world at 57 something, what we're discussing is human beings. All of these things they're finding, carbon dating and fossils and all this type of stuff, they're not claiming that they have what we call a human being that looks like us and talks like us and has free choice like us. Whatever they're thinking, the Neanderthals, is something different. And we, as Yidden, only count the world from when human beings are populating. Now, forgetting the philosophy of that, I don't want to go down that road. But the idea of that is true. What we want, a world populated by human beings. We don't need a world populated by prehistoric dinosaurs or futuristic robots, if you believe in that future. L'shevetz Yitzara means we want the world populated by human beings. Rabelsky once told me, I lived on his block, and he showed me the Gemara Chagiga. The Gemara Chagiga says that there are worlds built upon other worlds. This world was created upon the other worlds. So the Gemara Chagiga, I think it was Yud Gimel Beis. And the world was created upon other worlds. I don't know, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, it was Gemara. I forgot the phrase right now. See the Gemara Chagiga. And he told me then that's what his explanation was on all of the findings that are going on. That means the original world had this version of events, and we put another one on top of that. So when you're digging down and you're finding the prehistoric stuff, you're digging into that world. Again, there's a lot of approaches to answer science. That's not a Thursday morning share. Maybe it is now. Right, that's the issue with Puruvu. The question on Puruvu is, what is the mitzvah and how are you doing anything about it? According to the Melech HaSanach. But the others are not saying that. Torah doesn't say that. So even though it's not Pesach time, yes, a difference between the two answers on the Rambam. So the Rambam again said, Shofar does does yes require intent, and matzah does not. We gave two answers. One answer was an action versus a non-action, and one answer was pleasure versus non-pleasure. Again, shofar being inactive and non-pleasurable, and matzah being physical pleasure and physical action. What would be the difference with both agreed that peruvu, according to us, has pleasure and action? Can we find a difference between the two? So one of the answers is going to be if someone is forced to eat marar. Eating marar is the same action as eating matzah. And therefore, if eating matzah does not require intent because of the action of eating matzah, then eating marar would not require intent with the action of eating marar. So if someone forced you to eat marar, you would, yes, fulfill the mitzvah. But if the reason why shofar and matzah is different is not based on the action, it's based on physical pleasure. Shofar has no physical pleasure, matzah has physical pleasure. So depending on the strength of your marar, how much before you, the seder, you opened up the Tupperware, would be depending if someone put a gun to your head and made you eat it, would you fulfill the mitzvah? In most cases, I don't know, whatever, in many cases, the marar would not be considered a pleasurable eating, and therefore, if one would be forced to eat the marar, he would not fulfill the mitzvah. It would be a difference between matzah and marar. Marar would become like shofar. That's what would happen. So according to the first answer, marar would be similar to matzah, because the eating of the matzah is the same physical action as eating marar, but if it's based on physical pleasure, usually eating matzah has some form of physical pleasure, and eating marar, depends on what you're holding, would not be physical pleasure. As a side, since officially with Michas Chinuch, the Michas Chinuch discusses how how one would not be fulfilling the mitzvah of marar with extra strength marar. So the people who have the marar who eat and their face turns red like the cartoons and the hair comes up, according to the Michas Chinuch and maybe others, you would not fulfill it because you have to have something called eating marar. And what's called eating needs some type of form of eating. And when you're eating the thing and your face is exploding, according to some, you have to know the level of what that means, you would not fulfill the mitzvah of eating marar, but that's all a marar conversation. Bachasa could be strong and weak. I think everything could be strong and weak, right? No, you definitely could fulfill it with more mild. That's possible. Again, how mild you're going to go? I don't know if romaine lettuce has any bitterness to it. We're not going into that. But how opposite of mild, what's the word? Strong, I guess. How strong becomes a question that the Michas Chinuch discusses, and he's very adamant about not having too strong marar, because it's not called achila. And we do make a bracha of al achilas marar. Question if you need that bracha, but okay. Okay, let's go back to what we're discussing here. A recap. We started with the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam is saying, and Reish Yud Beis, that you need kavana, first word. You need kavana. Then we said, okay, does the Rambam normally say you need kavana when it comes to a mitzvah? We found a contradiction of the Rambam, whether mitzvahs need kavana. When it came to shofar, he said you do need kavana. When it came to matzah, he said you do not need kavana. So we decided to figure out what the Rambam's answer would be to explain the difference between shofar and matzah, and then we'll decide if that works for peruvu. We failed on both accounts, but it was a good strategy. The strategy, the first answer to explain why shofar would, yes, need kavana, and matzah would not need kavana, is because shofar is non-actionable. You are listening to someone else blow the shofar, but you're actually doing nothing. And by matzah, you are chewing on the food and eating the matzah. So action equal intent. Anytime it's an action, you won't need the intent because it equals the intent. Therefore, shofar would need intent because it's non-actionable, and matzah would not need intent. We said, would that answer the question of peruvu? That cannot answer the question of peruvu because peruvu is an action. According to Tosfos, at least, there is an action. According to the Michas Chinuch, it might not be an action because it's only having children. The second approach to how to answer the difference between shofar and matzah, why, again, shofar requires intent, why matzah does not require intent, was because shofar is not pleasurable. There is no physical pleasure, not physical action, physical pleasure in the shofar, while there is a physical pleasure in the matzah. Okay, so physical pleasure is in lieu of intent. You don't need intent when you have physical pleasure. We asked, would that answer peruvu? No, that cannot answer peruvu, because peruvu as well has physical pleasure. Therefore, we said, so what does it mean? We have a Rambam that, according to two versions of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Menachem and Bagei Mishnah, does not answer the Rambam. So we remained, even though we answered the stira between shofar and matzah, we now have a new problem of peruvu. So the first approach of the Maram Shik will be easy. Lechaven does not mean lechaven to the mitzvah. Lechaven means to be lekayim amin. Yishav aretz, leshevas aretz, yishav aretz. As a side, we said the difference between the two answers of the Magen Mishnah, a difference between the Magen Mishnah and the Rabbeinu Menayach would be Maror. If one is forced to eat Maror, can he fulfill the mitzvah as well? Next. Now, that was Shofar. We're going to cover all the Yom on the last day here. I don't know if we'll do that. We did Pesach. We did Shofar. Let's do Sukkah. So, decorations on your Sukkah. And some of the material. What's the material called? I forgot. Canvas. Some of the canvas Sukkah, they have the words of the Pasuk on the decorations of the canvas. L'man yedu derisechem. Ki yashavti b'sukkah l'man yedu derisechem. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Sukkah in Parsh Emor. And Parsh Emor, the Pasuk says that you should sit in Sukkah. Why? L'man yedu, that you should know that you sat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Sukkah then. What the Sukkah then means? Machloikas, does it mean a physical Sukkah? Or does it mean a nani covered? Question, Machloikas in the Gemara, what it means. And the commentators bring down that any time a mitzvah in the Torah has a reason associated, attached, given to the mitzvah, intent is required. Which would mean, according to this, Mr. Brewer brings it down, I think he said l'chachila, very l'chachila, but there might be others who say b'di'evit. If someone sits in a sukkah, biblical obligation the first night, we're not discussing the rest of the days, but biblical obligation the first night to sit in the sukkah, if one sits in the sukkah and does not have the explicit intent that he's sitting in the sukkah, why? Leman, yedu derisechem, that we once sat in a sukkah. What does that mean, we once sat in a sukkah? Either it means a physical hut, or it means anani akavod. You might not fulfill the mitzvah. According to Mishabur, if I remember correctly, he says you should take another kazayas of food on the first night. And a lot of times people sit in the sukkah the first night and they are discussing the weather. That's a big sukkah conversation, is the weather, right? Like outside today, that becomes a big conversation. And other conversations, and even people are discussing Torah the whole time in the sukkah, Divrei Kaddish, but that wouldn't be good enough. In order to fill the mitzvah of sukkah, according to many, you would need to have intent for the mitzvah of filling the sukkah. Not just intent that you're a good Jew. Intent, l'man yedu derisechem, that's why the canvas might say it, and the decoration might say it, because it's ma'akev maybe. Maybe ma'akev. Why? Because the Torah doesn't have to give you reasons to do the mitzvahs. The Torah could say, do X, do not do Y. That's all it's got to tell us. It doesn't have to give us a reason for the mitzvahs. The question is if the reason of the mitzvahs are even applicable. If the reason of the mitzvahs disappeared, do we still have to do the mitzvah? If the reasons were given 1,000 years ago and not applicable today, do we still have to keep the mitzvahs? There's a lot of questions that come into the time of mitzvahs. How important are the time of the mitzvahs? Whole different conversation. But when the Torah took extra space, extra time, $1 billion plus each crown on each letter, and expressed explicitly the reason for a mitzvah, then those times, possible to say, then the reason becomes very important, and you need the proper intent to fulfill the mitzvah. There are not that many mitzvahs that the Torah explicitly states the reason. But we just said, now when it comes to the mitzvah of Puruvu, the Torah does seem to say a reason for the mitzvah. You should be Puruvu in order to fulfill the world with human beings. So that means that the mitzvah of Puruvu might be one of those exceptions, like Sukkah, that the mitzvah of Puruvu would require intent for the mitzvah, not intent to L'Shevis Ha'aretz necessarily. The intent for the mitzvah, which means the Rambam, when he says, Hu Tshetzivanu Lifres V'Lirbos Hu L'Chavein, would mean you need, he said the Kaimimim, but the Chavin would mean for the mitzvah of Puruvu. We just said before, Puruvu should not need Kavanah according to the guidelines we set up as the difference between Matzah and Shofar. Yes, because Matzah and Shofar both don't say the reason. So when you discuss mitzvahs that have no reason in the Torah, which is a large percentage of the mitzvahs, 95%+ probably, then the difference becomes, is there going to be physical pleasure? Is there going to be a physical action? We can figure those things out. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Puruvu, it's irrelevant about physical pleasure. Irrelevant about physical action. Why? Because either way, the Torah added on the words that you're supposed to have a mitzvah of Puruvu in order to populate the world. When it gives a reason or extra words, when it has extra words, then you become obligated to have the proper intent for the mitzvah. And therefore the Rambam is saying proper intent required by the mitzvah of Puruvu for a whole different direction. Either way, that's not what it says the Kavanah is. The Kavanah is l'man yedu derisechem, that we sat in a sukkah. No, the l'man yedu, that's why it says l'man yedu. It doesn't say achilo. Is there pleasure in a sukkah?
No.
That, you're asking a different question now.
Yeah.
Is there pleasure in a sukkah?
Yeah.
Onyag Yom Tov says that the pleasure in the sukkah, Tshuva Sani Yom Tov, a fascinating tshuva, that the hana of the sukkah is integral to the sukkah. Integral. No hana, no mitzvah. And he says, Yeshuvu Kein Teduroi. Most people sitting in their homes are enjoying pleasure, whatever the word is, and therefore part of the mitzvah of sukkah, not part, integral to the mitzvah of sukkah is to have pleasure. He's talking about if someone has a neder or a shvu not to have a sukkah, maybe sukkah's time we go into that sukkah. It's a fascinating sukkah. I gave a shvu in South Africa about it once. Say the words and think of two thoughts. It means a physical sukkah or it means an aniyah kavod. Could take you under a second. Maybe a little more than a second, but maybe less. You read the words, the man yedor sechem, it means physical sukkah or an aniyah kavod, good to go. I mean, not everyone says b'dievet. Some say l'chachilo. So, but that's, again, that's what I'm saying to him. I want to be clear. The achilo and the leisha basukkah is not what I'm discussing. I'm discussing the specific intent, l'man yedu derisechem, that we sat in a sukkah. That's two different things. Then you might need the physicality of eating and stuff like that. But we're discussing now, even with all of that, you still need the extra level of intent by sukkah, and there are a couple other mitzvahs. Not a lot. Very few mitzvahs, by the way. One of them would be Shana Rishonah. Shana Rishonah is a person who's supposed to make his wife happy. And it says over there, depends on how you read the pasuk, if the making of her happy is part of the intent that's required. Which would mean, if someone makes his wife happy without intent, he might not fulfill that mitzvah. Might not have fulfilled that mitzvah if it happened years ago. And according to many, the mitzvah of sukkah. According to some, you are not yet to mitzvah sukkah unless you have that special intent. According to some. I'm only bringing out sukkah not to ruin everyone's day. Because it's raining outside, we're thinking about sukkahs now. I'm bringing up sukkah to tell you that there is a concept that when the Torah adds in a reason for the mitzvah, then we must have that intent. No, that's not a... No. Good. Good but not good enough. The man yarichun yomim isn't a reward for the mitzvah. That's not a reason for the mitzvah. I'm discussing when it says the reason of the mitzvah. When it says the reason for the mitzvah, you'll need intent. A reward for the mitzvah, different conversation. So the man yarichun would not be involved with this. There are very few mitzvahs that have a reason inside of it. Right? That's the Gemara with Shlomo Melech. That it gave a reason and then Shlomo Melech reasoned otherwise. But there are very few mitzvah reasons in them. And by the way, even reading the psukim in Puravu as a reason is not so clear. I'm just doing it for the conversation of intent. But you could really analyze if those words are the reason. It's not so clear that's a reason either. You have to know actually, which we're definitely not doing, is what's the difference between Pru and Uravu. That's a lot of, that's not for now. Third approach on why the Rambam can say you need intent. One approach was L'kayim HaMin. It's not really relevant to mitzvahs. It's a L'kayim HaMin type of gang. The second approach was that there is a Chiyuv Mitzvah Kavana because it has an extra detail in the Torah. And the third answer is that the reason why the Rambam writes to have Kavana is not about Kavana for the Mitzvah. It's not about Kavana L'kayim HaMin necessarily. What it means is that a person should have Kavana not to be 100% invested in physical pleasure. That's all it's about. It's about we want to be like a Pirish, Mitzvah Prisha, not to be totally indulgent in our desires. So the Rambam is saying that when someone's doing cohabitation, which also might be a mitzvah, don't do 100% for the physical pleasure alone. So he's saying it's a Musa Shmuz by the Rambam. It's not necessarily an halacha. It's a Musa Shmuz. I'm using that phrase. I'm not so exact what that means. But yes, it's a Musa Shmuz, meaning that the person who's having the idea cohabitate with his wife has to realize to not be fully indulged in it. That's all it's saying. It's not a hilchus mitzvah necessarily. It's more a musha shmush shaboy. That would be a third approach. Why are we discussing this today, based on the last few days, is also because someone is saying a wild idea. That when a goy does a mitzvah, we had a Turi Evans kasha. Turi Evans kasha was that when someone is not 100% and he fulfills a mitzvah, we don't count that as fulfilling the mitzvah. It's irrelevant. You can't fulfill a mitzvah when you're not 100% for when you do become 100%. If you remain, God forbid someone remains incapacitated, then on their level, they are fulfilling mitzvahs on that level forever. They're putting on the tefillin and the aspa, whatever the stuff are, that's fine. But when someone reaches a level of clarity, then when it switches and now he can't rely on those mitzvahs that he fulfilled on that level, he's now at a greater level. Same thing from a 12 and a half year old, 12.9 to 13 years old. And the question was, what about a convert? A convert's not obligated to mitzvahs. And yet, the Rambam says that a convert can count his non-Jewish children. His non-Jewish children were conceived through when he was not considered obligated to the mitzvah. So, the final answer for that, the Terevin, which will tie into Kavana, is going to be that the only time a mitzvah requires the person to be 100% to fulfill it, 12 and a half year old, he's not 100, it's not considered bedaitai. That's one of the reasons. A kid 12 years old, not considered 100% bedaitai for what we need for mitzvahs, is only a mitzvah that requires intent. But any mitzvah that does not require intent, not a lot of them, you have to figure out what they are right now, then even when the person was not bedas soul and chiddush naira was a non-Jew, those mitzvahs, when he becomes yes daitai tzol, or yes a Jew, he can count it because the das wasn't needed. If the das wasn't needed, who cares he was a guy? As an example that you gave, if someone has a child in the old version of IVF, the Gemara quotes it, it's called Be'ambatya, that a man is in a bathtub, and then later on a woman gets into a bathtub and she becomes impregnated through the man who was there earlier in the bathtub. The man has no intent whatsoever. And yet, and then she produces a child that most probably is considered his child for Puruvu. What do you mean? What's the guy doing here? He's not thinking, the woman's not even in the room. Why is he counting the mitzvah? Because maybe, according to some against the Rambam, the mitzvah of Puruvu, we're not discussing all the details why, would not need intent. And a mitzvah that does not need intent helps the person from the bathtub fulfill his mitzvah, helps the IVF guy fulfill his mitzvah, and also helps the guy who then converts to Judaism, potentially, to fulfill his mitzvah. I'm going to stop here. My voice is already a little bit cracking. I hope everyone appreciated, enjoyed, and gained from the few days. And only simchas.